It's new guidelines today on the concussion injuries, the brain injuries on the pitch. Is this something that is a really huge step forward for the FA and football in general?
Well, it is a step forward, but we would say it's a long-awaited step forward, because I think it's fair to say that football has been lagging behind other sports, particularly rugby, when it comes to providing concussion guidelines and protocols. So we do very much welcome the publication of these guidelines. The key, however, is making sure that these guidelines are enacted and that people buy into the reasons behind them. The real test is, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you have to make it drink. And you know, it's very good, all very well having the protocols, but we need to make sure, and the FA needs to now implement an education campaign to make people realise the importance of concussion protocols and how to properly deal with head injuries in football. Because if not, then the guidelines won't actually make much difference.
That is true, that, you know, it is making sure that the action is taken, really, isn't it? And obviously, we've seen some pretty nasty head injuries and clashes on the pitch, but there's been a fairly huge contact sport. Why do you think footballers lag behind rugby so much in this situation?
Well, I think that's a question that only football could answer. I think that we all, anyone who knows and loves sport, you know, there's always been this idea that you want to get back out there and play and support your team and you know, shrug off any injuries and what have you. And that cultural kind of idea that you've got to man up and get back in the game, that has to change, because a head injury is unlike any other injury. You can't run it off, you can't shake it off. And if you play on after you've had a head injury, the chances are that you could put yourself at risk of further injuries, muscular injuries, but also if you sustain another head injury before your brain has had a chance to recover, then you're in danger of exacerbating the initial head injury and causing much more serious problems. Quite why football has been dragging its feet to date, I don't know. But you know, we should be positive and we should welcome that these protocols are in place now, and look forward to the future.
And of course, an example of a head injury was Hugo Lloris when he played against Everton a couple of seasons ago. He got a concussion and he decided to play on, and obviously that is a case that you're putting yourself in a much bigger risk of getting another head injury by playing on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the Hugo Lloris situation, and that really brought concussion into the public's attention, particularly from the sporting, from the footballing world at the time. And we were very, very critical headway of the way that was treated, because if you recall, it was the player and the manager were overruling a medical team. Now, we've come a long way in the past few years to make sure that shouldn't happen again, but unfortunately we're still seeing at the elite level too many people not taking this approach of if in doubt, sit it out. And that needs to change as well, because if you're talking about asking people at grassroots level to follow these protocols and if in doubt, sit it out, then that's got to start at the elite level. And now the elite level, when you've got ambulances and doctors on standby, they should be the ones saying that if there is any risk of concussion, potential concussion, take them out, sit them out for the rest of the game and do a graduated return to play protocol to make sure they're fit to play. Now, if they're not doing that at the elite level when there's ambulances on standby, then why should people at grassroots level follow that? So we really need to make sure that elite level is setting a good example to stop people at the grassroots level going back out there taking dangerous risks of exacerbating initially minor head injuries and making them a lot more serious.
Yeah, it really does need to do that, doesn't it? Everyone needs to kind of listen to these things. So looking at some of the other, some of the other sort of reports about head injuries, Andy Wilkinson, of course, he's now in America seeing specialists. When he was playing with Stoke, he played in the FA Cup against Blackburn Rovers. He hasn't played since February of last season, and now he's trying to have his career saved. He's struggling with these concussion injuries. Many players do suffer, don't they? And I've seen this in other sports when it comes from, you know, even MMA and professional wrestling, that kind of thing. A lot of people who've suffered multiple concussions do suffer quite heavily, don't they? And I guess that's where, you know, you guys come in.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, we're talking about the cumulative effect of repeated head injuries. We are getting much better at identifying damage caused by cumulative effect of repeated head injuries, and we are finding it's coming to the public attention more and more. Certainly, a number of rugby players have announced their early retirement as a result of this, as you mentioned. You know, other sports, including football and wrestling, and you know, any sport where there is a risk of accidental contact with the head, is in danger of people suffering these multiple concussions. And I think that the positive thing is now that we're getting more awareness and understanding of what the effects are, because they can take some time to manifest themselves in the long term. After you've finished playing, it can take a couple of years, and before you see signs of maybe cognitive functioning problems or speech problems or memory issues. That could have been lessened had there been better management in place during one's career. So we are moving forward. There's a great deal more awareness out there, but a lot more now is needed to make sure that people, as I say, at the grassroots level, are not taking any undue risks.
It'd be very interesting this, because Tom is with me now. He's the sort of our non-league expert, really. He does his non-league show on Monday nights here on Radio Yorkshire. Tom, just taking this a little bit further, how is it a non-league from your point of view, from what you've seen when it comes to concussions?
Well, I think it is a very important point which has been made. Obviously, in terms of non-league football, if a player does get an injury, there aren't ambulances on standby. You are in a position where you do have to wait. I know I've, in the past, waited with a player who got quite a nasty head injury, and he had to wait for an ambulance to come. So it is a very important message, this, because I've seen firsthand just what can happen when you are waiting for an ambulance to arrive.
Well, Dave Redding, the FA's Head of Performance Services, insists that these new measures prioritise the well-being of the player above all other considerations. He's been talking about this today. He says, as with other sports, practice will improve over time. And it is a common... It is education, isn't it? That's what needs to happen now. It's just educating these people and making sure that it all gets put into place.
Well, it is education, but as I say, it's also a cultural change. We have to recognise that this is not going to change overnight. And it's the same with rugby, it's the same with football, it's the same with all sports. We have to get over this kind of antiquated concept that, it's only a blow to the head, I'll be fine, get back in the game and support your team. You know, this is about making sure that if you do proper, majority of concussions will leave no lasting effect. And with proper management, you'll be able to continue to play and continue to, after a couple of weeks of rest, you'll be back in the game, continue your career, or continue your amateur hobby, whatever it may be. So this is about making sure that people continue to play the sport in a safe manner. Rather than thinking that this next 90 minutes of sport is the most important thing to happen in my life. It's not, because we're talking about the long-term and short-term health here, and it can affect every aspect of you. It can affect you cognitively, it can affect your memory, it can affect your personality. It can change you as a person if you sustain a serious brain injury. And the risks are just too great to ignore. So, yes, it's education, and we need people to really understand why we're putting these messages out there, this if-in-doubt, sit-it-out message. And making sure that people realise the bigger picture is more important than just the next 90 minutes.